This is our number 10.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Before I get into all the great stuff we have to talk about, let me just offer one quick rebuttal to Bob Ferguson, who just announced a lawsuit against the Trump administration. And again, it's because Trump has introduced some legislation that would strip tax dollars from abortion mills like Planned Parenthood. And the sympathetic sound bites are, oh, people are going to lose their health care. Well, let's just remember that there are counterbalancing sound bites out there. This is the undercover audio that was certified as legitimate by a judge 2 weeks ago, where at a Planned Parenthood meeting, they talked about how sharp the skulls are when they crack them in the babies.
But I get it. When the skull is broken, that's really sharp. I get it. I understand why people are talking about getting that skull out back
in Elmeria. Yeah, the skull's really sharp when you break it. And, ooh, when one of the baby's eyeballs fall out into your lap.
An eyeball just fell down into my lap, and that is gross.
That's gross when a baby's eyeball falls out in your lap. And then this one where they talked about how since partial birth abortion is illegal, they will just grasp the torso with one set of forceps and then pull the legs and arms off the babies.
Doing a procedure, and I'm that I'm in fear of that it's about to come to the umbilicus. I might ask for a second set of forceps. Pull the body at the cervix and pull off with it.
Oh, so yeah, okay.
So it's not
right.
Yeah.
So it's not a partial birth abortion. They have ways to dismember the baby so that they can get around the law. So Bob Ferguson didn't mention any of those things in his lawsuit against the Trump administration today, but that's the reality of it out there. Okay, let's get into our Fastest 15. Right, this is the first time I've worked with you in weeks.
I think it's been 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
I know.
You were traveling. Mm-hmm. I was traveling. Where'd you go?
I went to 4 different countries, went on a Caribbean cruise to celebrate my husband and I's our 25th anniversary.
Nice.
Which was actually in October, but we held off until last week.
Sure. And how was it?
Fantastic, with the exception of one little mishap we had on a tour boat.
What happened?
I almost didn't come back.
What?
I know. People might be excited about that thought, but
no one is excited about that thought, Ursula.
But I was on a excursion boat, so in Belize, and we were traveling through a man-made channel, actually, to go see Mayan ruins.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on a high-speed boat with about 25 other tourists. And the driver of our boat thought it would be kind of cool to, because it was curvy.
Yeah.
Before it got into open water. And so he thought it'd be cool to let us kind of splash around. And so he's going really fast around one curve, and then he hits another one and loses control of the boat, and we go slamming into the mangrove trees on the side.
What?
Yes. And so, and then the boat practically flips. So, I mean, it's on the verge of flipping over, and we've all, you know, two people fell off our boat.
Holy moly.
Yeah.
Into the water.
Into the water. Crocodile-infested waters,
oh
mind
gosh.
You. And I'm hanging on to one of the trees, thinking, trying not to, like, fall into the water. And then finally, one of the passengers yelled, "Everybody get on the other side of the boat," because, you know, again, we're tilting
right.
heavily.
Gotta balance.
Yeah. And anyway, the good news is, I mean, a couple people got bumps and bruises, but no one was seriously hurt.
You never know who you're dealing with in those third world tourism activities.
Yeah, and I will say, and it's a, it was Princess Cruises, and it was a sponsored, you know, so it wasn't one of those where you just get off the dock and find anybody. It's, yeah, it's someone that they've used a lot, and I'll say that it was actually our best excursion.
Yeah.
Minus that part.
Oh, man.
Anyway, well, they reimbursed us for that. Yeah. Anyway, I'm happy to be alive.
Well, we're happy you are too. Crying out loud. I came up with something that'll make all of our lives so much better. This might be my best idea yet. It's for all touring concert acts. If they would employ one simple strategy.
And what's that?
Well, my wife and I, we just decided to get away for a little 4 or 5 day weekend. So we left right after the show Wednesday, mm-hmm, and slipped away to Vegas for a few days.
Nice.
It was my idea.
Imagine.
It wasn't hers. So, but we had a really fun time, and I wanted to relax. I didn't gamble that much.
Okay, I was going to say, Vegas is not relaxation.
It was very relaxing. Okay. It was snowing when we got in Wednesday night, snowing hard. And she said, do you want to go out and play? And I said, no, I just want to read in the room and watch the snow fall. And so we did that. I didn't gamble the first 24 hours. I ended
That's incredible restraint on your part.
Yeah, I ended up paying for the entire trip, including the shows and meals, because I had a very good time.
When you finally decided to gamble.
Yes. But anyway, so on Friday, Thursday night, we went and saw these dueling pianos that we just love at New York, New York. And they're just really awfully good. And then on Friday night, we went and saw The Man. Fast forward. That's a long prelude that he does there. There we go.
Whirling like a cyclone in my mind.
So we went and saw Barry on Friday night. Again, not my wife's idea.
How was the show, though?
He's a very good showman.
I mean, he's incredibly well-preserved.
It's very strange. We had very good seats. So uh-huh. We were close up. His face is so taut, like a snare drum, and then he's kind of got the chicken neck going, uh-huh, but he's got this ridiculous, you know, feathered hair.
Uh-huh.
He's 75 years
uh-huh
old. It's just people look ridiculous when they tie up their face like that. It's just,
but you're not supposed to be that close up. If you're far away, he looks like Barry Manilow of the 70s.
No, no. But anyway, he's quite a showman.
How was his voice?
His voice was fantastic. His voice was great. And his fans, the Fanilows, they are legendary. And it was the same balance. I saw him 30 years ago. It was the same balance as it was 30 years ago. 65% women, 34% gay guys, and me. And then on Saturday night, we went and saw Chicago, which was fabulous. But here is my tip to any touring musical artist. You need to hire, like, you know those guys who are school security guards? They always hire those big, beefy, just physically intimidating security guards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of times they used to play high school football at the school.
Right.
And then they get hired as a security guard. And if anybody's holding up their phone recording without warning, and this will be on the ticket, so the warning will be on the ticket, but the security guard just gets to lay a forearm into the side of your head.
Wait, why?
Once again, I secured very nice tickets for Chicago.
I can't even believe
there's,
it.
There's a woman standing in front of me. Her friend is trying. She's the only person in the theater standing. And she's right in front of me, of course. And she's holding up her phone, recording the entire concert. Her friend is pulling on her dress, trying to tell her to sit down. And then finally, I stand up and I kind of yell in her ear and I go, will you please sit down? You're the only person standing here.
How did she respond?
Just nasty.
Oh.
But the only type of person who will do something like that is just an unfathomably selfish person.
Is it okay if others are doing it too?
Like if everybody's standing.
Okay.
But if you're the only person standing.
It's a lack of awareness, but her face is on the phone taking video instead of enjoying the concert.
So I'm just telling you, a beefy forearm in the face these offenders. Now, if you say it on the ticket, that's the condition of entry, that you're willing to. I mean, it's like if you enter an MMA fight.
How about just without the, pounding on the head? How about just, ma'am, would you please put it down? You're bothering people in the concert.
No. Beefy forearm to the head. You don't know how long. I sat there.
You haven't had much sleep.
For about two songs, I sat there fantasizing about being that person. Okay, up next in the Fastest 15, a Washington man has been sentenced to 10 years in prison for watching porn, child porn, on a bus. It was just awful. He was previously, earlier in his life, the first child pornography suspect on the FBI's most wanted list. And he was on a bus traveling across Montana, but the guy is from Ellensburg. And he was just sitting on the bus with everybody else able to see it, watching him, watching child pornography. And he had $20,000 taped to his legs, $5,000 in his bags.
$50,000. Another $50,000 in his bags.
Oh, my story says $5,000. Wow.
He told police he had emptied his bank account before leaving Washington.
Yeah, so where's he off to with all that cash watching child porn? And do you know what he did before being on the FBI's 10 most wanted list?
He was...
He was a keyboardist for John Mellencamp.
I love John Mellencamp.
And I can't hold this against John Mellencamp, what this guy did. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, did any of you watch the Oscars last night?
Just a part of it.
Just highlights.
I had it on while I was doing show prep.
Yeah.
And
there's only one,
oh my gosh,
one moment that was worthy of mentioning.
Yep.
And are you two in agreement of what it is?
Mm-hmm. Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me guess.
Without even discussing.
Okay, I'm guessing it was this.
Tell me something, girl.
Is this it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Are you happy in this modern world?
Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga singing. And she won the Oscar for this?
Right.
And this is from A Star is Born.
Mm-hmm.
So A Star is Born won the Best Song Oscar 40 years ago for Barbra Streisand's Evergreen. And then it wins it now with Lady Gaga. Has that ever happened before? One movie winning Oscars for two different songs?
There's not too many of those movies, I don't think so.
There's no way that ever could have happened before. It was just pathetic, though.
What part was pathetic? Oh, just the whole show?
The whole show.
Did you hear that the numbers, though, audience numbers were up?
Yeah.
With no host.
Yeah, I did see that. That was baffling to me. I thought the whole thing was boring. Let's see.
I only watched one movie.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I'd literally never heard of the movie that won. Was it Green Book? Is that it?
Green Book.
Yes.
I had never heard of it before last night. Let's see. They waited 29 seconds into the opening monologue to make a Trump joke.
So just a quick update for everybody in case you're confused. There is no host tonight. There won't be a popular movie category, and Mexico is not paying for the wall.
It's so mindless. You just say anything like that to a crowd like that, and they just erupt in guffaws. I mean, it's just the most brain-dead reactions, Pavlovian, the way people react to stuff like that. Oh, and then the big controversy. So when that book won, Spike Lee got upset, and he tried to leave, and then he turned his back on who gives a crap? Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, the Lieutenant Governor of Virginia is Justin Fairfax. And he now, of course, has had two women accuse him of sexually assaulting them. He's still trying to hold on to his job. And he used, I thought, an unfortunate comparison to what he's going through.
If we go backwards and we rush to judgment and we allow for political lynchings without any due process, any facts, any evidence being heard, then I think we do a disservice to this very body in which we all serve. And I want to stand in this moment in the truth, not only which has tested my Constitution personally, but it's testing the Constitution of the Commonwealth of Virginia and of the United States of America.
So he says that he is going through a public lynching with these
political lynching,
the political lynching with these accusations against him. And then there's this. This is a weird political story. Kamala Harris, she's considered one of the Democratic frontrunners. And her husband, when she was on that Breakfast Club, in fact, do you have the soundbite from that radio interview where they asked her about her husband? Because she took some heat when she went on the Urban radio show a couple of weeks ago. And this is the show where she said that she smoked weed in college while listening to Snoop and Dr. Dre. And then it was revealed, well, she graduated in 86, undergrad, 88, grad school. And Snoop and Dre didn't release their first albums till 91 and 93. But the other thing that was said in that interview was they seemed to be a little upset that her husband is a white guy.
I don't think it's fair. I don't even think the personal life should matter. But they do mention your husband a lot.
Uh-huh.
And they say, how is she so black but she married white?
Look, I love my husband. And he happened to be the one that I chose to marry because I love him. And that was that moment in time. And I'm... That's it. And he loves me.
So this weekend, Joy Reid, who's African-American, on MSNBC, she suggested that Kamala Harris can't go campaign for the black vote with a white husband, and she's going to have to find a strong black man to campaign with her because she will not be accepted in an interracial marriage.
But I will say, I think the African-American community expects more from people who look like us, particularly a candidate who wants to represent us. So she needs to find a strong black man advocate who can be in her corner at some point on the campaign, at some point in any space in her campaign. That I would say that was my key advice. Find a prominent blue-collar, self-made black man to be in your corner.
Yeah, because a white husband won't cut.
Well, I think there was even criticism I read while I was on vacation. There was even criticism that she herself is not black enough because her parents are from India and Jamaica.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because I still see this, that people call her African American. She doesn't have any African ancestry. Like you said, it's Indian and Jamaican. You know what that reminds me of? I remember a few years ago, there was a swimmer from a Caribbean nation. And he was the first black to win an Olympic swimming medal. And I'm watching the NBC coverage, and they said that he's the first African-American to win a swimming gold medal. Well, he was neither African nor was he American. He was from a Caribbean country. People get so twisted up in political correctness.
But yeah, her response to that, she says, I'm black. I'm proud of being black. I was born black. I will die black. And I'm not going to make excuses for anybody because they don't understand.
Yeah. And she fell in love with a white guy. Big deal.
Exactly.
Jeez. We got two more years of this before the 2020 election. And Trump hasn't even jumped into his reelection campaign yet. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
You give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Coming up next, it's happened again. Two boys have won state high school girls track championships. It's getting ridiculous. Details coming up. Well, now it's just getting ridiculous. You may recall, last week, Martina Navratilova the second greatest women's tennis player of all time, Serena Williams being, I think, undisputably the greatest. But Martina Navratilova, not only a great tennis player, but clearly a gay rights, she was a trailblazer. And she has been beloved by the LGBTQ community. But last week, Martina Navratilova dared to stray from the party line of idiocy. She said that, of course, men who are, you know, trans, who claim to be women, of course they should not be allowed to compete against women in a sporting event because they have too much of a biological, physiological advantage. Well, the reaction was swift from the social justice activists, an LGBTQ advocacy group that Martina Navratilova had done some work for. They denounced her, and they said that she will no longer be able to work on their behalf because she spoke truth. She said that men have a physical, biological advantage over women. And I talked about this last week when Navratilova, just total idiocy of this LGBTQ group to deny truth and reality. And, you know, what I've said is Serena Williams, the greatest of all time, she would not be a top 100, probably not a top 200 player on the men's tour. The Seattle Storm, greatest women's basketball team in the country, a fantastic team, a sport that I, you know, deeply care about because I coached girls basketball for so many years. But a good high school boys basketball team would beat the Seattle Storm. The boys play above the rim. You know, on the best boys basketball teams, they have several people who can dunk. In the WNBA, they have one person in the entire league who can dunk. The game is just played above the rim and at a much faster pace. That's not in any way denigrating the fantastic accomplishments of the Storm. Boys and men are just quicker and faster, and the proof of that is in track and field. Men's track running times are always faster. In the strength sports, the throwing distances, the men are always farther. In the jumping sports, the men are always higher. There's just no question that men have a biological, physiological advantage. They have thicker musculature, all of that. So that's where, yeah, I've said many times, I don't care if somebody wants to, you know, be a man, say they're a woman. I'll use female pronouns unless it's a situation that makes absolutely no sense. And what's happening in high school sports in America, it's just gotten absolutely ridiculous. Where two boys finished first and second this weekend at the Connecticut Girls Indoor Track Championships. Andrea Yearwood and Terry Miller are both biological boys. They say they identify as girls. And Connecticut is one of 17 states, including Washington, where all you have to do is say you identify as the other gender and you're allowed to compete in that sport. And so, but it's so patently unfair. You have girls who have worked, and if you're a state champion in track and field, you have probably competed at, you know, club track level for 10 years, and you have worked often with private coaches to hone your skills and to you know, make sure your technique is perfect so that you can have a chance at being a state champion. But you got no chance if you're competing against biological boys. And the fact that this is happening more and more, it's happened in Alaska in track and field. It's happened, this is the second straight year that these two boys have won Connecticut girls state titles. Good Morning America did an interview with the two kids who finished 1-2, Andrea Yearwood and Terry Miller.
At what point do you decide, actually, it's more appropriate for me to be on the girls' team and competing with other girls?
I decided that the summer before ninth grade.
When was the first time that either of you found any kind of opposition to you participating on the girls' team?
I was expecting it. So every day I'll go home, search up track and field high school, Terry Miller.
Because you wanted to know what people were saying.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were upset, including this mom whose biological daughter just cannot compete against boys.
Athletes are at the physical disadvantage compared to the transgender female. They have naturally testosterone within their body that has been proven to give a physical advantage in sports.
Of course. I mean, of course it does. The parents of the two trans kids, they say that they're proud that their kids are winning the girls' state championships and that they have other fish to fry.
Track is number 100 on my list of concerns as a father of a transgender daughter. I'm talking about raising a child for a life. And so is it fair that that child is excluded? Is it fair that that child doesn't feel like they have a place to belong?
It allows her to be who she wants to be, and I think that has a little bit more weight than just winning a medal.
No, it doesn't. If you want to do that, then you have to have a third category or four categories, trans kids, male to female, female to male. Let them compete against each other. Let these two, if they're the only two boys who want to compete as girls, then let them have their own two-person state runoff. But to allow boys to play girls' sports is insanity. But here's these two kids' message to other trans teens.
What do you want to say to other transgender youth, young people, teens who are out there really struggling through this process?
Just follow your heart. Like, don't let other people determine what you do in life.
But how would they feel? And the reporter asked them, if you were a biological girl trying to compete against a boy.
Let's just play devil's advocate for a moment and just imagine that you were both born girls, and then all of a sudden you had two boys who identified as being girls, and they said, hey, we're going to be on your team, and maybe now you're not performing as well because they are better.
I'm not going to discourage you or try to say, oh, it's not fair. And it would just push me to run faster.
I'd be happy for them because they get to do what they want. They're happy, so then that should in turn make me happy.
And they're brave. They're just different from everybody.
So that's, it's just, it's ridiculous to have boys competing against girls. Men, you know, we had a men power lifter that knew the Muslim congresswoman from Minnesota. She's fighting USA powerlifting because a man wants to compete against women in powerlifting. A man won the women's track cycling championship. And then the political correct nonsense. Michael Strahan, who played in the NFL, Hall of Famer, and he's co-host on Good Morning America, and the little toss back and forth with him and the reporter.
It's something that schools across the country are dealing with because an estimated 150,000 teens in this country identify as transgender.
And you know, it's a very interesting argument on both sides.
You can see compelling argument on both.
No, there is no compelling argument on the other side. Boys should not compete against girls for state championships. There is zero compelling argument. I know you have to say that to be politically correct, but you are flat wrong. Lots more straight ahead as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. Oh, my. Another broadcaster in trouble for an unintended comment. A Iowa radio sports broadcaster, he was doing the game highlights between the Maryland Terrapins and the Iowa Hawkeyes. And he was talking about a Maryland player, Bruno Fernando. And here's what Gary Dolphin said about that guy.
That's a pretty good long-range shooting. And then Fernando was King Kong at the end of the game.
Okay. Pretty good long-range shooting. And then he was King Kong at the end of the game. Well, people say that was a racist comment. He's been, and what he meant was the guy was dominant. He's a very large man, and they just weren't able to contain him. But the guy, Gary Dolphin, has now been suspended for the rest of the season. According to Hawkeye Nation, the press release from Iowa's sports broadcasting property, they said the suspension might be indefinite, which means he could be fired for this. And they said that he had been suspended once before because he disparaged another player over a hot mic. But here's the statement from the broadcaster. He said, "During the broadcast, I used a comparison when trying to describe a talented Maryland basketball player. In no way did I intend to offend or disparage the player. I take full responsibility for my inappropriate word choice and offer a sincere apology to him and anyone else who was offended. I wish the Iowa Hawkeye players, coaches, and fans all the very best as they head into the final stretch of the season. I will use this as an opportunity to grow as a person and learn about unconscious bias." So is that a fireable offense? Here, listen one more time.
"That's a pretty good long-range shooting. And then Fernando was King Kong at the end of the game."
And a guy from CBS Sports talked to him. He said, "I talked to him for 30 minutes today. He's heartbroken. He's very sorry. He does Iowa football play-by-play. This is life, this guy." And that's what popped into his head when he saw a dominant player that the other team wasn't able to contain, and he may lose his career over it. And another writer who knows this guy really well and covers the Iowa Hawkeyes said, "In no way was Gary Dolphin comparing a black man to an ape, as some have said he was. He was just describing the outstanding play of Maryland's Bruno Fernando, who was a man among boys and whose strength was key in getting the putback offensive rebound to win the game. The best I can tell is that they received one email complaint relative to Dolph's King Kong analogy, which a lot of people have used to describe dominant play in athletics. And sometimes that's all it takes these days. One complaint and very, very weak management, and people can be gone just that quick. The outrage culture machine, it works swiftly and with great fury." Going to check the news for you at the top of the hour, and then lots of new stuff in our big lead at two next.